Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Just when you thought it was safe to stop worrying about the bomb, comes word that some U.S. nuclear warheads have been found with defects that could lead to accidental explosions. The Washington Post reporting today that in 1988, a defect was discovered in the W-79 short-range artillery shell that could have caused it to fire if struck forcefully in a sensitive spot. Hundreds of W-79s are deployed in West Germany, Italy, and the Netherlands. Urgent orders went out not to move the weapons, and repair teams were secretly dispatched to disable them. Sources have also told the Post urgent safety studies are underway on two other nuclear warheads, the W-88 Trident warhead and the W-69 warhead for short-range attack missiles. In Brussels today, Defense Secretary Cheney told Europeans and Americans not to worry.
My own personal view is that there was no danger, but that the shells in question did not meet the very high standards that we have. When we find a situation where we're not comfortable that we've met the safety standard, then we take steps to make certain that we have met the safety standard. And that's exactly what we did in this case.
William Arkin, head of the nuclear weapons project at Greenpeace, does not question Cheney's safety claim, but noted that Europeans were kept in the dark about the problem, and he called for more openness.
This is a very closed system. They set the safety standards. They do the inspections. They make the rules as to what those safety standards are. They decide how many nuclear artillery shells are needed. They decide how much money is spent. They decide secretly where they will go, and they decide how the security for them should be set. And the public is totally cut out of that debate in the name of nuclear secrecy.
At their Brussels meeting, NATO defense ministers have called for a quick East-West accord to slash troops, tanks, and other non-nuclear arms in Europe to eliminate the chance of a surprise Soviet attack. They've lately accused Moscow of foot-dragging at the Vienna Conventional Arms Talks. The Soviet public will get to vote on radical economic changes that promise to send prices and unemployment sky high. No date has been set for what amounts to a national vote of confidence in Mikhail Gorbachev. First Deputy Premier Yuri Mashlukov says the government needs a referendum to gauge public support before it institutes a program that will switch the Soviet Union to a market economy. Israel's foreign ministry implicitly accused President Bush today of fanning continued violence by Palestinians. It attacked his remarks, suggesting the latest clashes in which 22 Palestinians have died resulted in part from an absence of peace negotiations. More on the situation from CBS News correspondent Bob Simon.
Militant Israelis marched around the walls today celebrating Jerusalem Day, the anniversary of Israel's conquest of the Old City in 1967. Last night, Prime Minister Shamir declared the Jewish state has a sacred right to Jerusalem and will never relinquish control. He also expressed confidence that he'll be able to form a new right-wing government within a few days. Hardliner Ariel Sharon, defense minister during Israel's 1982 invasion of Lebanon, described today's situation as a state of emergency. He said he should be reinstated as defense minister because he'd know how to resolve the crisis. The Gaza Strip, where most of the deaths have occurred this week, is reported quiet today under a curfew imposed by reinforced Israeli troops. Nazareth and other Arab towns in Israel have also calmed down after Monday's violence. But Israelis are concerned they could flare up again in response to any political development, such as the formation of a new right-wing government or the convening of a UN Security Council meeting in Geneva. Bob Simon, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Police in France say seven people were arrested today in the desecration of a Jewish cemetery in the southern town of Carpentras. Some are said to belong to a satanic music cult. President Bush's son, Neil, is now before the House Banking Committee to be questioned about his former role as the director of Denver's failed Silverado Savings Bank. As Terrence Smith tells us, some of the questions are bound to be tough.
Federal regulators testified that Bush voted as a member of the bank's board of directors to approve more than $100 million in loans for Bill Walters, a Denver developer who was a silent partner in Bush's oil and gas business. Walters defaulted on the loans at an eventual cost to the taxpayers of more than $50 million. Neil Bush has denied any wrongdoing, and Republicans on the committee were quick to suggest that the president's son had been used. Congressman Jim Leach.
I know Neil Bush is a thoughtful young man who I think, frankly, was lured into becoming an outside director in a financial institution composed of inside directors who appeared to be good community citizens, when in fact, perhaps they're up to their ears in some scheming conflicts.
Neil Bush will be asked about several loans he approved that appeared to present a conflict of interest that he did not disclose to fellow board members. Such conflicts do not violate the law, but may lead to a regulatory ruling barring the president's son from future involvement in the savings and loan industry. Terrence Smith, CBS News, Washington.
The Bush administration has just dramatically increased its estimate of the cost of bailing out the S&L industry. Treasury Secretary Nicholas Brady telling Congress the government will need to borrow between $90 billion and $130 billion to clean up the S&L mess. That's about $50 billion higher than earlier estimates. The Miami Herald reports today that Eastern Airlines plans to add new domestic routes and recall about 85 union pilots, the first recall since the 1989 strike that forced the carrier into Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The House has killed a Central America aid authorization for $720 million in urgently needed help for Nicaragua and Panama. That measure would have cut military aid to El Salvador in half, and for that reason was opposed by the administration, even though President Bush has been urging rapid approval of the Nicaragua and Panama money. Another American original is gone. Former middleweight boxing champion Rocky Graziano died last night in New York of heart and lung failure. The hospital said he was 71. Correspondent Richard Threlkeld looks back.
He was the original Rocky. Rocky I, if you wish. He grew up using his fists on the mean streets of New York's Lower East Side.
You had to fight to survive in those days. We didn't use knives or guns or that jazz.
He was from the school of hard knocks, all right, and he gave as good as he got in 10 years in the ring. 52 knockouts in 83 fights.
Rocky Graziano of New York, 26-year-old middleweight champion of the world.
He knocked out Tony Zale to win the middleweight title in 1947, then was himself knocked out by Zale the next year. A youngster by the name of Sugar Ray Robinson did the same thing to him 5 years later. He spent the next 40 years enjoying his good fortune. He ran a restaurant or two, one of them still around. He did a little TV.
Oh, do you think so, really, Pygmalion?
I'll fight any man that says otherwise, and you know what a terrible pugilist I am.
They even made a movie about him, starring Paul Newman.
What I want, they can't take away from me in no ring. You know, I've been lucky. Somebody up there likes me.
One of his many friends once observed that Rocky Graziano was living proof that boxing not only builds character, it builds characters. Richard Threlkeld, CBS News, New York.
Orders for aircraft and cars were down last month, leading to a 4.1% decline in durable goods orders. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrial Average is down over 4 points. Time on the roundup, 10 minutes past 7.